Yes.
All right. She's learning. All right. Welcome to Black Hat. See, now you got me going. Welcome to Black Hat 2017, SecurityGuyTV.com. What's your name, sir?
I'm Scott Schneider with CyberGRX.
Scott, do me a favor, keep it up a little higher
like,
and kind of mimic me. Okay, great. CyberGRX.com.
Yeah.
And what do you guys do?
Yeah, so we're a third-party cyber risk management platform. We help organizations manage risk from their third-party ecosystem. We also help the third parties themselves scale their response. So if you know third parties are being inundated with hundreds or even thousands of security assessment requests,
yeah,
we help them scale their program.
Interesting.
Excellent.
You know all about this stuff, don't you?
Yes. Well, my background is financial services on a global base. So we talked a little bit about compliance in a regulatory arena. So I'd be interested in knowing how you keep pace with all of these changing regulations outside of the U.S. as well, and how do you incorporate them into your product to ensure that your clients are being compliant?
Yeah, of course. I mean, in the financial services industry, especially the Department of Financial Services in New York has really brought down some pretty heavy regulations around third-party cybersecurity. So in the past, it was more like a spreadsheet. You could just send it out to your third parties. They would fill it out, and you just house all that data. Today, that's no longer meets what they need from a regulatory perspective. So there's increasing regulatory scrutiny on all fronts in many different industries. I think the other things that are driving our business today are the rise in outsourcing. I mean, to be agile, you have to outsource key functions. We've seen a lot of companies be disrupted. You see Blockbuster go away from Netflix and things like that. So even large companies have to be really agile. And then I think the thing that's most frightening maybe is that north of 50% of the attacks and breaches that are happening today involve a third party.
Wow, interesting.
That is interesting. We had heard a statistic that 68% of fraud is internal, but that particular statistic is interesting because it goes to not only the data being transferred to the cloud and the archiving, but also the fact that entirely new body of risks are emerging from the third-party vendors.
Sure.
So when we talk specifically about New York State Department of Financial Services, that's being implemented in three stages.
Right.
The third-party vendor management, mm-hmm. and really, it's no longer know your client, but it's also now know your vendor.
Sure.
How does your product address those requirements, particularly for New York State?
Yeah, sure. So they've given them a little bit of runway. The third-party program does not really kick in until March 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So they got time. But today what most organizations are doing is they're literally sending spreadsheets to their third parties. Those spreadsheets, the third parties are filling out those spreadsheets, like do you have a firewall, do you have a DLP program, that sort of things. They're taking it back and they're just trusting that information is accurate. And they're really just housing it in a SharePoint or a GRC tool, right? So what we believe is the most important question in third-party risk is which of your third parties pose the most risk to your organization today? And how can you action those? Some of these organizations have hundreds or thousands of third parties or tens of thousands. And if you're focusing equally on all of them, you're diluting your efforts. So how can we illuminate the 10, 20, 30? It really needs your action today. Maybe one of your third parties was acquired, or maybe they bought a company and doubled their attack surface. Maybe you've already done an assessment on them, so you know where their weak controls are, and there's a new attack out that's exploiting that control. So how can we just kind of hit you in the forehead and say, you need to take action on this third party today, or if they're breached, it's going to impact your business.
Now, I got a question about third parties. So I get the third party angle on an attacker, right?
Sure.
But you're kind of a third party, right? So it comes to you. What's happening in the world when something does occur and there's some kind of breach or an attack? Are companies trying to shift liability to people like yourself to say, you know what? I don't want to get sued, so we're going to let Scott get sued instead.
Yeah.
Or do they have to indemnify you? I would think you'd have to have an indemnify clause to, take your risk, right, to do it. How does that work?
Yeah, so we're performing the security assessment. So we're going out, pretend you're the customer. You might ask us to go do a security assessment on 400 of your third parties. We're going out and doing that and doing our best to give you a snapshot of their security posture at that time. We're also doing updates on a continuous basis and a periodic basis, event-driven updates. So you're always getting a fresh look at their security posture. If there is a breach, we're certainly indemnified in that situation.
Okay, good.
It's not our fault. We're giving our best effort.
Yeah.
Much like a Big Four firm does when they provide a security assessment on you. So,
do me a favor and just hold the microphone a little closer for us. Yeah. Okay, good. I'm sorry.
Sure. So does that make sense? I mean,
yeah.
We're doing giving our best effort, and if something happens, as you guys know, security is very dynamic, so at noon, it could be security could be really good. Someone could open a port or do something else that, that exposes them to an attack.
Now, the reason I ask is I'm from the physical world, although I had a computer in 1984, so I know more about it than most people in my side of the business, right? But in the guard business, one reason you hire a guard company is to shift risk over here.
Well,
it's your guards. Your guards didn't provide security. And we see lawsuits like that, right? Because that guard didn't let he let somebody in. The guard didn't do something, wasn't diligent. And I don't see those same sort of claims on the cyber side, which is interesting because isn't it just a cyber guard?
In a way, in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
I think it's a little tougher to point it. It was that guard. They got through that gate, and it's probably a little bit less obvious in the
physical world is kind of like, okay, that's the guy. We know.
Yeah.
It's just something that popped in my head because
an
average company is going to hire 5 or 6 people that come out and put things on top of their networks to protect it.
Exactly.
And now I'm relying on 5 or 6 different people because they can't do it themselves, and I get that part too, right? But I have some weird questions popping in my head.
No, it's fine. This is a dynamic space. I mean, most organizations are just not prepared from a third-party perspective.
Right.
And part of that, it's not lack of diligence on their side. They've got 10 other things that are equally as important, or maybe
it's too voluminous, I guess.
Yeah, but I think one of the challenges is if we believe the ENYs and the PwCs and the Ponymons that are saying 50, 60, 65% of the attacks involve a third party, the market has to do more, right? If that's a vector that's being exploited, you've got to do more. It's no longer okay just to send a spreadsheet, check the box, show a regulator that you did, sent out a few spreadsheets and say, okay, you actually have to manage risk.
Now, when I started asking questions about this years ago, I got, here's my question. Are you finding it hard to get in the door and sell this? And what the vendors would say is, blink, blink, that's what I get. Internet of Things, cybersecurity, what? I don't have time for that. We don't have a problem.
Sure.
Are sales a no-brainer now?
Yeah, not a no-brainer, that's
still
for sure.
Still not, okay.
It's still difficult.
With all the awareness, and we know they need it, they still kind of go,
Well, so I think there's different stages, right? I mean, I've done a few of these early-stage security startups. This one, I don't have to do a lot of discovery when I'm having a discussion with someone. I don't have to convince them that they have pain in this area.
Right.
They pretty much say, hi, I'm Bob, and we don't have a very good third-party security program. You know, quit telling me all the reasons why we need one, and let's talk about how you can solve it.
Okay.
So that's always fun. It's not much fun selling something that you have to twist someone's arm. And no one wants to do that. It's much easier just to be collaborative and say, look, here's how we do it, and we think we can help you. And one of the things that's not being contemplated often is the burden that's put on these third parties. So one of our design partners who helped us build this, we have 6 design partners. It's Blackstone, ADP, MassMutual, Bloomberg, Aetna, and another large investment bank that helped us build this platform and our assessment methodology. And one of our design partners is assessed over 3,000 times a year.
Wow.
So they are being assessed. And that ranges from fill out this spreadsheet with 10 questions to we're coming in and we're going to look at all your data centers and really do a 3-day test on everything. So the third parties are really being inundated. If you talk to a smaller third party that's maybe relies on 3 financial services companies for 90% of their revenue, they are being assessed very frequently. And it's very tough for them, right? Just to manage that. They have to hire staff just to fill out spreadsheets. And these spreadsheets are the same over and over and over, asking different ways. So we're taking a very pragmatic approach. I mean, let's face it, GRX stands for Global Risk Exchange. The exchange concept's nothing new, right?
Right.
If I were going to give you credit, I wouldn't come in and audit your books. I would just go to Experian or S&P or Moody's, and I would get your credit rating. That's really what we're doing here.
Yeah.
Right? We're taking in data and just allowing it to be easily shareable.
Great. What keeps you up at night? What do you worry about?
I think I worry about the disparity between what we were talking about earlier. If north of 50% of the attacks are coming through a third party, which that's accurate information, but the participants in the market aren't treating it as a high priority. When I say high, I mean number one, or three.
Right.
I think that creates a lot of gaps, and we're seeing that. I don't want to call any names out, but if you just if you Google third party breaches in 2017, there's hundreds.
Absolutely.
Right.
Dun & Bradstreet with that example.
Are you calling out a name? I guess you did.
I think last week was Verizon. Had the same thing.
And I'm happy about that. I don't like you, Verizon. You messed up my phone.
You charge me too much.
They do. They're crazy.
Yeah. So I think that's the thing that bothers me the most. But we're seeing great adoption, and so I think the forward leaning companies are really addressing this in a meaningful way.
Scott Schneider, cybergrx.com.
That's it.
Thanks for coming on Security Guy Radio with Black Hat 2017. Excellent.